Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him, and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he went by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, but when he saw him, he too went by the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" The man answered, "The one who treated him with compassion." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have two great dynamisms in today's Feast of the Word of God. First is the dynamism of Jonah, fleeing from the vocation and the mission God had given him. Soon as God had revealed what he was asking Jonah to do, Jonah went down to Joppa to try to take a boat to Tarshish. Now, I don't know how good your ancient geography is, but Tarshish was over at the Spanish-Portuguese border. So to get on in Joppa, you were going as far west as you knew existed in the world. Nineveh was to the northwest, up basically at the Syrian-Turkish border today. And you were trying to flee as far away as possible from Nineveh, or as the book of Jonah himself says, he made ready to flee to Tarshish, away from the Lord. He was running totally away. And we see what the Lord does and what our sin always does when we run away from the Lord. We can say, "Hey, it's just my sin. I'm not hurting anybody. He almost got all the mariners killed." Totally blind. He's sleeping down there as they're casting off all their cargo because they're frightened. He wasn't going to be praying to the Lord because he was running away from the Lord. And that, whenever we do that, it always has an impact on those around us, especially those who are closest to us. What happens? There's a massive change. We'll get to that in a second. The other dimension is in the gospel. After this lawyer comes on up and asks what he has to do to enter into life, Jesus asks him what's written in the law. And this man, this scribe, knew it exactly. That wasn't an easy answer. Jesus himself had been asked a similar question, and the people were amazed because there were 613 commands in the Old Testament. How you'd rank them to really get the most important was a real challenge. But we don't get into heaven by our brains. After he had cited this, Jesus said, "Okay, you've answered correctly, but do it and you'll live." It's not just knowing your catechism. It's living the faith. And this man wanted to justify himself in terms of who the neighbor. And Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan, which shows us the other direction. Rather than running away from the Lord, running away from loving Him with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, running away from loving our neighbor as we would want to be loved in that circumstance, or as Jesus would love us, it shows us how to run toward our neighbor. Because we've heard the parable so many times, it can be shocking. But it would be like, I had a mass very early this morning with the Missionaries of Charity today, because today's the anniversaries of their founding. I said it would be like this man was left in a ditch, and all of a sudden the Pope walks by and he sees him and he runs away. And then Missionaries of Charity come, Mother Teresa's daughter, and they see this man in a sewer and they just run away after he had been ambushed, mugged, and dumped there in the sewer. But then a drug dealer and pimp comes by, or a member of Al-Qaeda, or a child molester, a scumbag comes by, and his heart is the one that's moved with compassion. He's the one who starts sacrificing everything to care, sacrificing the wine that was on his pouch that he would have enjoyed drinking later in order to help as a disinfectant with the wounds, taking his precious oil and using it as a salve, caring for himself at the inn, giving a fortune to the innkeeper to care for him way more than it would have taken, but letting the innkeeper know that he's going to come back to inspect the guy, so don't abuse him in my absence. All of that happened by someone who, rather than running away, ran toward. And in running toward that man ambushed in a ditch, was running toward the Lord. For whatever we do to the least of his brothers and sisters, we do to him. How do we go? Because I think all of us have experienced both polarities in our spiritual life. There are some times where we want to flee from what the Lord is asking. Even if it's not the big picture of a vocation, we might want to run away from that person we don't want to draw close to. That polarity that draws us away from God and away from loving our neighbor, and the polarity that draws us near, even when it's asking for a massive sacrifice. We see it in the prophet Jonah. Part of the scene is excised precisely so that it can be our responsorial psalm today, when Jonah began to pray in the belly of that fish. Began to turn to the Lord and say, "Out of my distress I called to you, Lord. You answered me. From the midst of the netherworld," really was the midst of the netherworld, "I cried for help and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. The flood enveloped me. When my soul fainted," how could you not faint in a circumstance like that? "I remembered the Lord, and my prayer reached you in your holy temple." He turned in prayer, and that's what changed him. And we're going to see how, once converted, once spewed out on the shore, he hikes all the way to Nineveh, and he brings the pagan Ninevites to conversion. That's what's always needed. It's needed, that prayer, that conversation with the Lord that is always meant to change us. Today we celebrate Our Lady of the Rosary. I'd like to focus on two dimensions of it. The first is how this prayer of the Rosary changes us from someone who scrams to someone who draws near. Pope John Paul II, a decade ago, when he gave us his beautiful apostolic exhortation on the Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, described how the Rosary is supposed to change us. change our entire intentionality, reorient our polarity. He said, how can someone meditating on the birth of Jesus in the joyful mysteries not have a much greater sensitivity to all pregnant women, to all children, the blessed fruit of women's wombs growing within them, as we talked about yesterday on Respect Life Sunday? How can that person not have a genuine compassion to all the suffering children around the world? That the rosary is not just saying 53 Hail Marys as fast as we can, that the meditation on the mysteries of the rosary is meant precisely to help us in recognizing Jesus in these mysteries, to recognize how those mysteries are still being lived out in others. He went on to say, how can we, in meditating on Christ, the revealer in the luminous mysteries, not come to see how He's calling us to imitate Him in living all of the Beatitudes, in becoming someone who's capable of loving God and loving others, putting God first and putting others second and putting ourselves third? How can we, in meditating on the sorrowful mysteries, especially Jesus' carrying of the cross and His crucifixion, and not be transformed into Simons of Cyrene, desiring to help all those who are carrying heavy burdens in life bear them, just like we would want to help Christ Himself bear them? How can we, in meditating on Christ in glory and Mary assumed into that glory, not try to make this world more beautiful and bring much more Christ's kingdom, His peace, His love into our ambit? The rosary is meant to change us into people who love God more and love others more. That's why the rosary is such a gift. You know, a lot of the times when Catholics look at the rosary, I think mainly for those of us who learned how to pray the rosary when we were kids, we sometimes can have some bad memories of the rosary. The rosary was a punishment, or the rosary was something that would occur at the most inconvenient times. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad wanted to pray the rosary right after the weather report, as we start to get a big storm. What came after the weather report? It's the sports report. It was what I was interested in. But before the sports report, my dad didn't even want to wait for 5 minutes so that we could pray after sports. He just shut off the television, and every time we began to pray the rosary, I was mad. Took something out. A lot of the times, that's the way we learned how to pray the rosary. My dad would hover over me, and if we were distracting, you got four young kids, he'd just first snap, and then second, he'd give you the divine digit. And you never wanted to feel that steel finger in your pectoral muscle to have us pay attention. And so there was a little bit of this, but the point of the rosary is an unbelievable gift given to us by Mary, so that we can, in pondering with her, her Son and all the mysteries of His life, be transformed more and more into her children, images of her Son. That's the point of the rosary, which is why it's so crucial for us to pray the rosary and to pray it well. Second thing I want to mention about this feast is Our Lady has always proven to be a good Samaritan to us. When we're in need, she never runs away. She always draws close. She's done it in many spectacular ways throughout history, in Guadalupe, in Fatima, in Lourdes, in La Salette, where we were. She draws near precisely to help us. Many of the times in our own lives, we know those occasions in which we've turned to her, and we know that she's drawn near precisely to assist us. She wants to transform us by her maternal care into people who could care for others with the same loving heart. That's what we mark today. We turn to her, we ask her, the mother of the Good Samaritan, who always showed this love, and as we ponder in the mystery of the visitation, immediately went to care for her cousin Elizabeth when she would be in a difficult pregnancy. We ask her to help us, to give us that same holy haste, so that we might cross the road, traverse the hills, in order to bring her son and the love her son always bears with him to all those in the world with wounds to heal. Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, pray for us.